This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6. This is what God's Word says. The Lord is my shepherd. And can I say something, folks? We need to make sure he's our shepherd. It's not enough that he's somebody else's. He's got to be yours. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You say, Pastor, I want you to understand something, folks. You say, Brother Benny, I have some people that are coming against me. Let me tell you something. God can prepare a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. God can prepare a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Look what it says. My cup runneth over. This is not the message, but there's so many messages there. You know why some of us don't ever share? Because our cup's not running over. And until our cup runs over, you won't have anything to share. Amen? Till you have abundant life, you won't be able to share life. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody said, well, since I've become a Christian, God's been so good. No. His goodness and mercy has followed you all the days of your life. His goodness and mercy has followed you all the days. It's followed me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let me make a quick statement here. Some of you that have a problem if church lasts longer than an hour, what are you going to do when you have to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? What are you saying? Take me off the clock is what I'm saying. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, folks. That's what God's Word says. Let us pray. Jesus, we love you. I pray that you'll speak to us and through us. God, we just praise you for how you've ministered to us today. And God, now as I speak to ears, would you speak to hearts? Give your word a free course to travel. And may it find a lodging place in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And God, for all you do, we're going to praise you. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the Lord is my shepherd. There was a man in the Bible, his name was David. He actually wrote 150 psalms. There were 150 psalms. He wrote 75 psalms. But his most famous psalm was this 118 English word psalm, Psalms 23. David, he became the king. He became the most powerful man in Israel. But he didn't start out as a king. He started out as a shepherd boy, according to 1 Samuel 17 and 15. He was just a shepherd boy taking care of his sheep. And when he reached near 70 years of age, he died when he was 70. He was looking back over his life. Somebody said, we live life by looking forward, but we understand life by looking backwards. Rick Warren said it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others. I added something to it. I said, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others and not near as painful. David was looking back over his life. And as he looked back over his life, he penned Psalms 23. See, there's an animal in the Bible that's mentioned in the Bible more than any other animal. It's not an eagle. It's not a lion. The animal in the Bible that's mentioned more than any other Bible is sheep. And God could have compared us to anything. God could have compared us to any animal. But I want you to know something. He compared you and he compared me to sheep. Mentioned over 500 times, as I say, because we are the sheep of his pasture. Now keep in mind, David was a shepherd. He was the son of a shepherd. But David is not writing this scripture from a shepherd's perspective. He's writing this passage of scripture from a sheep's perspective. What does that mean, Pastor? That means he's writing it from our perspective. He's writing it from our perspective. And in each one of these verses, he gives us something that's so good. David said, the Lord's my shepherd, and I'm the sheep. In verse 1, David looking back over his life, he said, I've found the Lord to be my provision. I love what he said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Ladies and gentlemen, God never said he'd meet our every greed. But he did say he'd meet our every need. And if you look back over your life, folks, I believe you'll find I found him faithful. I found him faithful to meet every need in my life. I found him to be a God that's been more than enough. He said in 1 Samuel 21, he said, my men and I were in the wilderness. We were on the run from Saul. He said, when we needed food, I got bread out of the tabernacle. God supernaturally provided bread out of the tabernacle. He said in 1 Samuel 25, there was another time when we needed food. And I asked a wealthy man by the name of Nabal, would he give me food? And he would not. But his wife Abigail came. And she brought me loaves of bread. And she brought me cooked sheep. And she brought me desserts of pressed figs. He said, God provided. He said, later in my life, we needed to build the temple. In 1 Chronicles 29. And I didn't know where we were going to get the money. But he said God provided equivalent today $300 billion to build the temple. This is what I know, folks. Where God guides, he provides. And where God leads, he succeeds. And I love what David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I just want to remind you folks that God is your source. God is your source. And God would bankrupt heaven if that's what it took to meet your need. God is our source. That old song says, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let me tell you something. David got to the end of his life and he said in Psalms 37 and 25, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. What I want to say to you, you know what God is saying to you? Come up real close. God is saying to you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll tell you something else. He's not only our provision, but he's our peace. Look what it says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Get this, folks. David said, I tried it all. I tried riches. I was worth $200 billion equivalent today. But he said that didn't satisfy. I tried the riches, but it didn't do it. He said, I tried recognition. I was the king. I was recognized. I had the popularity. I had more friends than anybody on social media. I had the popularity. Everybody knew who I was. He said, I tried relationships. He said, I hate to admit it, but I tried improper relationships. I went with another man's wife. I had relations with another man's wife. I lied about it. I deceived about it. I tried to cover it up. I ended up committing adultery with that woman when I should have been in the right place. I was in the wrong place. I ended up having that woman's husband killed. He said, I tried everything. I tried everything to experience peace. But peace comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, because he's the one who makes me lie down in green pastures. See, let me tell you something about a group of sheep. If sheep are suspicious of a wolf, a coyote, a bear, they'll literally stand up all night. Have you ever had nights where you stood up all night? You just couldn't sleep? But David said, this is what I've learned. He maketh me to lie down. What's he saying? He said, he gives a peace. He gives a peace that the world can't give. He gives a peace. And he said, oh, you know, nothing's in the Bible just to be in the Bible. He leadeth me beside those still waters. Because see, troubling waters, sheep are terrified of running water. But what was he saying? He keeps me at peace. He keeps me at peace. Pastor Benny, who's the greatest preacher you ever heard preach? A man named Adrian Rogers. If you want to know what God's going to sound like when you get to heaven, just listen to Adrian Rogers. He's got that voice like God. Say, by the way, Pastor Benny, what's my voice? I'll be able to sing with the angels. No. Remember Jesus in the resurrected body. When he spoke, Mary knew who he was. She said, what are you saying, Pastor Benny? What are you going to sound like in heaven? Unfortunately, just what I sound like here. Just what I sound like here. Adrian Rogers, the great preacher. I put on his necktie this morning. This was Adrian's necktie. I said, God, help me preach like Adrian. Adrian developed cancer and pneumonia, and he was dying. They said, Brother Rogers, we're going to have to put you on a vent. And in all likelihood, you're not going to come off the vent. And by the way, he didn't. He said, well, I want to see my family. I want to see my children. I want to see Miss Joyce, my wife, before I want to visit with them. And he visited with his wife and children. Then Steve Gaines, who followed me as the pastor there at that church, came in. And Steve Gaines said the last words he said to me, he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, I want you to know something. Either way, it's okay. Because I am at perfect peace. I am at perfect peace. peace. You hear me, folks? The world can't give you that, and the world can't take that away. That comes from the Good Shepherd. Provision, peace. But he said something in verse 3. Pardon. Look what it says. He restoreth my soul. I researched that in the Hebrew. And this is what it means. He brings me back. He brings me back. David said, you got to understand something. I lied. I deceived. I committed adultery. I committed murder. But the Lord brought me back. I messed up. But the Lord brought me back. I messed up, but the Lord brought me back. Oh, I messed up, but the Lord brought me back. That's why he prayed in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, I want to do what I want to do. Look, you can do what you want to do. You can live like hell, but you're not going to experience the joy of your salvation. You can try to please this old world, but you're not going to have the joy of your salvation. You cannot be totally committed to God, but you're not going to be the joy, have the joy of your salvation. You can hang around with those lounge lizards down at the Crystal Pistol, but you won't have the joy of your salvation. You'll have joy when you're living for Jesus, the Lamb of Glory. He said in Psalms 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why did he use that word cast? You've got to understand a cast sheep. A cast sheep. A cast sheep will get flat of its back. You got to understand something. That cast sheep is not strong enough to get back up on its feet. That cast sheep, it's called a cast sheep. It's flat of its back. It can't get up on its feet. Now, what happens? If it starts bleeding, making noises, that coyote comes. That vulture comes. If it stays up on its back, the gas is built up in the stomach. And it cuts off the air passage. And the sheep will die. But the good shepherd comes. And he starts massaging the legs of that sheep. He starts massaging the legs of that sheep. And then he rolls that sheep over on its side so those gases can release and be moved. And then in just a little while, he lifts that sheep back up on its feet. He lifts that sheep back up on its feet. I wonder how many times we've been flat of our back when we didn't know what to do. And the Good Shepherd came. And the Good Shepherd came. David said, I know something about restoration. I know you can begin again. I know, though, you cannot go back and make a brand new start. You can begin right now and make a brand new end. I know you can begin again with Jesus Christ. Oh, but he said, there's something else that I look back over my life, and that's his presence. See, when David penned that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We read that and we just think about death. But that wasn't what David was thinking about. David knew in Palestine there was an actual valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. He knew that valley was from Bethlehem, the highlands, to the lowlands of Jericho. And he knew as a shepherd, you had to take those sheep during the winter months from the highlands of Bethlehem to the lowlands of Jericho to get grass. But what would happen? Many times predators, robbers would hang out and they would pounce on the shepherd and they would take the sheep. And David said, I knew what it was. I knew what it was to walk that lonely valley. But he said, I knew something else. The Lord was with me. I knew something else. The Lord was with me. David said, I'm looking back over my life. And he said, when I battled that giant, the Lord was with me. And when I battled Saul, the Lord was with me. And when I battled the Philistines, the Lord was with me. And when I battled the Edomites, the Lord was with me. And everything I went through in life, the Lord was with me. When I went through, oh, glory be to God. When I went through a tough time, he didn't leave me. When I went through a difficult time, he was right there with me. When friends forsook me, he was right there with me. When people turned their back on me, he was right there with me. He said, I'm looking back and I see his provision. I'm looking back, I see his peace. I'm looking back, I see his pardon and presence. I want to tell you, I'm going to buy this CD. He said, I'm looking back and I see his partiality. Look what he said. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I don't know how it is at your house, but most of the time at our house, we have paper plates. You know, I've been guilty of a lot. You, Pastor Benny, you've been, this has always been my philosophy for all these years. I've never complained one time about a meal. You say, you got to be kidding, never. I've always thought if you get full, what does it matter? So if you have steak or you have cereal, just eat enough till you get full, amen? If you get full, what does it matter? So sometimes we have paper plates. Hey, sometimes I'll set the table. But let me tell you something. If we've got company coming, no paper plates. Benny's not setting a table. Because Benny make a mess out of everything. I hope you think I preach pretty good. I hope you do. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, because you got to understand something. That's the only thing I do well. If I work on it with my hands, I will destroy it. Something can tear up at the house. And I said, let me see it. And Barbara said, please don't. But you know, when people are coming, she says, no, you're going over there and sit down. I'll set the table. What's she saying? Special people are coming. What's the Lord saying to us? You're special. You're special to me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You say, Pastor Benny, I got people that are coming against me. Well, folks, look here. When a man's ways please the Lord, it maketh him even to be at peace with his enemies. Don't you focus on your enemies. You just focus on pleasing the Lord. You just focus on pleasing the Lord. But look what it says. You got to understand Middle East customs. Thou anointest my head with oil. In the Middle East, when you would come into a home for a meal, they would anoint your head with oil. They were not only saying you're special, but they were saying, you're loved. And then the scripture says, my cup runneth over. See, when you had a meal in the Middle East, at the end of the meal, after the meal was over, If you wanted the people to leave pretty quick, you've been there. We've all had company. You were proud to see them come and proud to see them go. But if you wanted them to get out of there pretty quick, you'd fill the glass up about halfway. If you wanted them to stay a while, you filled it to the brim. But if you hoped they really would never leave, you made sure the cup was running over. You know what God is saying? I don't ever want to be without you. God's not mad at you, folks. God's mad about you. God loves you. God loves you. God's crazy about you. David said, I'm looking back over my life, and I'm sorry, folks, but this is just an encouragement to me. I'm trying to quit. I look back over my life, folks. He's my provision. He's my peace. He's my pardon. His presence. His partiality. But lastly, his paradise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm glad we got this pulpit. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm done, but I'm so glad that he's my shepherd. I'm so glad that he's looking out for me. I'm so glad he's looking out for you. Because see, folks, he's the good shepherd. What makes him the good shepherd, preacher? Well, stick with me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What's a good shepherd? Oh, what? You say, Pastor, I don't. Oh, yes, you got to understand. The good shepherd went to the cross and gave his life for you. See, get this. He's the only man who ever chose to die. You say, oh, preacher, you're wrong. There's men on wars and battlefields. No, no, no. I'm right. They chose when they were going to die. But they were going to die eventually. But ladies and gentlemen, he didn't have to die. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He didn't have to die. But ladies and gentlemen, he chose to die for every one of us. He chose to die for every one of us. He chose to die for your sin. And he chose to die for my sin. He didn't have to die. He chose to die. Whew. He's the good shepherd, and there's nobody like him. But I'll tell you what else. He's not only the good shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. Preacher, what made him the great shepherd? Well, let's read. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Why he's the great shepherd, he didn't just die, ladies and gentlemen, but up from the grave he arose. Up from the grave he arose. He's not only the good shepherd. He's not only the great shepherd, but he's the chief shepherd. What does that mean, preacher? That means he's coming back. That means he's coming back. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, we're going to receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Get this! The good shepherd dealt with the penalty of sin. The great shepherd dealt with the power of sin. But the chief shepherd is going to take us away from the presence of sin. He is the good, good shepherd. Now here's what's paramount. Get this. The Lord is my shepherd. He can't be your daddy's shepherd. He can't just be your mama's shepherd. He's got to be your shepherd. So on days like today, let's make sure the Lord is my shepherd. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. That's not enough. I've been baptized. That's not enough. I've been through this school or that school. That's not enough. I'm a good person. That's not enough. You've got to know Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.